Well, the Tiananmen Square massacre was a significant turning point in China's modern history, and it has a different meaning for different generations of Chinese, including those who live here in Australia. Australian-based activist and artist Guo Jian was a student in Beijing at the time. He participated in the hunger strike and the sit-in. He was also there when the shooting began, and he helped friends who were injured. Frances Mao is the daughter of one of the Chinese students who was allowed to stay in Australia after the massacre. These days she's a journalist with the BBC. Frances, Guo, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you.
Guo, can you take us back to those days in May and June in 1989 in Tiananmen Square, particularly the day we're remembering today? What do you remember about that day?
In the 3rd of June, about 11:30 night, and I was there in Tiananmen Square, and then most of the people were heard the gunshots from a really, really far distance, and then nobody really trust that was gunshots. I was thinking there's fireworks, and then I thought, well, I'll try to make sure if something happened there. So I ride a bicycle with one of my classmates, run to that direction, and then we start to see people running from that direction towards Tiananmen Square. And you see some of the body people carry on the tricycle and covered with blood, and we didn't believe that happened. We didn't believe that was
possible.
Possible, yeah. So we went, I went up to one of the guy who got shot in his leg, and he just had an operation from the local hospital. And he showed me the bullet, and I put it into my hand. I knew that was the real, but I still not really believe. I thought maybe just accident, you know?
So you couldn't believe, as a young student who'd been in the protests, that the Chinese military would open fire?
No, because I was in the army before. So I was a soldier before. I knew, and I always been told, say, we are the People's Liberation Army. You know? So I never thought about they will open fire. So, but when we keep on going, and we see more and more people running towards us, and then you see more bodies. And at that time, I still not believe at all.
We were reminded, I think you, both Frances and you and myself, we all watched The Four Corners last night, reminded of the footage of the events leading up to it, the enormous optimism of the students, and not just the students, many citizens of China supporting the students and hopeful for a more open China. And then the tanks rolled in.
Yep.
Just staying with you for one moment longer, Guo, what happened after the crackdown? What was life like for a student in Beijing after
Tiananmen Square?
After Tiananmen Square.
They start round up. They come with the trucks and the tanks. They start go to the university areas. So we all have to go back to university to confess to ourselves. You know? So we have to to tell them what we've done in Tiananmen Square. So everybody has to literally forced, you know, to write down what you've been doing in Tiananmen Square.
Were you scared? Did that affect your life afterwards?
Yeah, of course. Now, from the beginning, I think we're still not really scared that much, because just after that, you still got that kind of feeling there, so you didn't scared at all. But when they got the van, not the tanks, but the tanks outside, or the trucks outside, but they got the van, came to the university, start arresting some of the students, come out with the full of the arming, equipment, come out. When they come out, really scared the students around there.
Frances, your father was on a student visa in Sydney at the time, just for 1 year, he thought. So this is the time of the pro-democracy crackdown. He and your mother had a visa. She was already on her way here.
Yeah.
They hadn't met then, but they met since. So your father decided to stay after Bob Hawke made the offer to the Chinese nationals, thousands of them who were here, that they could stay. Why did he make that decision? Has he spoken to you about that decision and about the impact of watching what was going on in Tiananmen Square?
Yeah. I actually asked him recently, how long it took him to make that decision. Did you think about it for a week or so? And he said, the day after seeing Bob Hawke make that announcement on TV, the next day he called his mum, my grandma, and said, "Mum, I'm staying in Australia." all the Chinese students in Australia at the time were watching the protests with the same kind of hope and optimism that everyone in China was feeling. You know, they went on for weeks, and Dad's spoken to me about how, you know, now Tiananmen is remembered as this great tragedy, but one thing that often we forget was Tiananmen was, you know, for those few weeks before the killings, it was a time of great hope. He calls it, you know, when China was at its most weida, at its greatest, because for the first time, people were able to discuss ideas, were able to talk back to Chairman Mao and criticise Deng Xiaoping. The students were able to express their free thought, and China was at a crossroads. So everyone was excited. Where were we going to go from here? And the Chinese students in Sydney, Australia, and all around Australia, they were as optimistic. They were as engaged. Dad says that on the day when the crackdown occurred, you know, there was great sorrow and despair around everyone, because it was like a fire that had been growing had been snuffed out.
And given that, yes, you say China was at a crossroads, and then it took the other turn, which affected people like Wen Guo and your parents. How did that? Did you see? With now you're grown up, can you see the impact of that, the Tiananmen Square massacre, on your father, who was removed? He was here. The impact on him, and perhaps the impact, I mean, what Tiananmen Square means to you now, you know, the next generation.
Yeah.
Who grew up in the shadow of that.
Exactly. And, you know, I guess it's not the shadow. It's more that only in recent years have I, and maybe my friends and so many people like myself, have begun to realise what our family history is, and what, you know, what government policy or what massive world event changed the course of my family and my own life forever. You know, I was born less than 3 years after my parents stayed here. My mum came here when she was 27. Mm-hmm. I'm turning 27 this year. Mm-hmm. You know, If my parents had stayed in China and given birth to me, I wouldn't have any siblings, because there's a one child policy in China. And then, of course, you know, the ramifications are so much greater growing up in a free Western democratic society with these ideals, but also with, you know, the better standard of living, less pressure. You know, my life would have been completely different, as would have been my parents.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 22 past 8. Our guest this morning, Guo Jian, is Australian-based artist. He was a student in Beijing at the time. He was in Tiananmen Square participating in the hunger strikes. Frances Mao is the daughter of one of the Chinese students who was able to took up the offer from Bob Hawke to stay in Australia after the massacre. She's these days a journalist with the BBC. Guo, you witnessed what happened. You even helped the injured who were gunned down by the soldiers, by the People's Army. And you left China a couple of years later. You came to Australia with the girlfriend, I think.
Yep.
But you went back to China for 9 years.
Yep.
Why did you go back?
Almost like invited back to China. And I didn't want to go back to China at that point. But some of my friends come up saying, you should come back. Now it's time to make a business. And I was like, okay, I'll go back. And I went back then and then opened a restaurant there. And I tried to not really make any works to provoke them that much. So I literally only do anything just in my studio. I didn't really do anything in the public at all.
Even though you're an artist?
Yes.
And then you did. Tell us what happened in 2014.
I mean, you build up that kind of frustrations every year. During that 9 years time in China, every year close to anniversaries, you will get your fans disappear, or you get the people come to tell you don't do anything, and people like even your relatives, your friends, or just tell you.
So tell your family.
Yes.
Because your name was on.
Yep.
So they. Is that frightening to live with?
Oh yes, like I mean, people living in that kind of a lifestyle, right? People get used to it as well. For me, I was like, I couldn't really believe that, and they still come to me. I got a police officer watching me every day, right? He just come to your studio all the time, trying to say have a tea with you. That's the thing. To try, especially close to this time, anniversary time. So I always get the people come to tell me things like
that. So what happened in 2014?
And then, so the tension just built up. I was just couldn't really be about this, because I just watch everybody. No one really want to talk about that. So I said, I'll have to do something. But for myself, I still believe that. So if I do that in my studio, it's okay. So I lock up myself in my studio for 3 days, and then I start build up. I got the Tiananmen model already built up before that. So and then I bought some of the pork mince, the minced pork, you know, yeah. to come to my studio, and then because I was a little bit worried about I don't know how to do this going to work. So I put the meat on the top of the model and working. They literally grew on the model, and then I'll keep order the meat. So I got like 160 kilo of meat, and I'll put on the top of the model in the Tiananmen model. And 3 days later, because the smell really strong, so I have to open the door of my studio, and someone immediately came in, so which is I don't know this guy, and then he came up and he started taking photos of things, and it literally he helped me to take a lot of photos there, so that's why I still have some of the records there.
Yeah.
But then he disappeared, and then the 1st of June, and the police came in the middle of the night and they arrested me and put me into the detention center for 2 weeks. Yeah, and they kept me out of China.
Because you had a model of Tiananmen Square in your studio, not on public display.
Yes, and also they filming me, literally filming me to destroy the whole things, in my studio.
Francis, China's changed a great deal since that time in terms of opening up, improving in economic terms and social terms in some degrees, the lives of many of the people. How does your generation, who've grown up since Tiananmen Square, view this episode in the nation's history? Do you talk about it with others?
I think for the kids of the Chinese people who stayed, yes. You know, because we grew up in Australia, and if you care about history or politics, you do talk about this, and your parents do tell you about it. For my generation or people my age in China, my understanding is that you don't learn this in school, obviously. It's not institutionally taught anywhere. So where you do hear about it is if your parents talk about it, and then so that's within the family. But I had a chat with my dad, recently about this, and he fears that a lot of the younger generation of Chinese, so the kind of the millennials, people born post 2000, he fears that that history is being wiped away and that people don't talk about it anymore. Even some people who are older, they've kind of evolved their understanding of what they think Tiananmen Square was and have come to justify it in a sense, or to see, the Chinese government's thinking of this. You know, we saw, China yesterday.
Yeah, the defence minister.
Exactly. So it's correct policy. And given the prosperity of where China is now and the economic prosperity, people, I think, are happy to say, well, we are great now, so let's not look at the past.
And Guo, just a final word from you on that. Yes, in the wake of the comments from the Defence Minister yesterday, who said that the crackdown was the correct policy decision, look at the stability it's delivered China. That sentiment, I've heard young Chinese on the media in the last 24 hours saying, well, it was clearly the correct thing, they had to do it. What does that make you feel, who not only witnessed it, but it was being treated as you were treated just 4 years ago? What does that make you think?
That's why I want to do something more, because that's the things literally triggered me to do that work. Because so I was not only just sad, I was really angry, because I had a conversation with the local the police officers. They came to me to tell me the same story, the same thing. They said, that's the thing we need to do. Otherwise, we never get this kind of a China move like today. So that's really making me really angry and really sad. So that's why I still want to do the work against that.
And would you ever consider going back to China again?
Oh, I would love to go back to China as a free country, like Australia. But again, I don't want to go back to a country you still like. You are as an artist, you can't really express yourself there. So I don't figure that way. But I'd love to go back. For free, yeah.
And just briefly and finally, on an anniversary like today, what does that trigger in you?
Oh, really sad. Really, really sad.
Guo Jian and Francis Mao, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you.
Guo Jian is a Chinese-Australian artist. He participated, was part of the Tiananmen Square protest. He was a student back in 1989, and you've heard his story. He's since been expelled from the country for making a model of Tiananmen Square in his own studio. Francis Mao is a BBC journalist. Her father was one of the Chinese students allowed to stay in Australia after the massacre, thanks to Bob Hawke's gesture to the students who were here.